So we have today in Matthew chapter 5 a small portion of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the Lord's longest discourses in the entire New Testament. It covers the entire chapters of 5, 6, and 7 in the Gospel of St. Matthew. And when we look at an overview of the Sermon on the Mount, we see that it really contains five main points or five main themes. First, the Sermon on the Mount begins with the attitude that a Christian should have. And this would be the Beatitudes that the Lord gives us. And then the teaching that we are the salt of the earth and we have to sanctify the world. We are the light of the world. And Jesus and his teachings, that he fulfills the law. He's not come to abolish, but to fulfill. The second main theme we'll see in the Sermon on the Mount, when you read it, is the uprightness of intention in religious practice. To pray in the right way, to have the right intention. And here, this is where the Our Father is included in that section. Third, we see the trust that we should have in God's fatherly providence, that not even, you know, a bird falls from the sky without your Heavenly Father allowing it, and that he knows every hair on our head. And then, fourth, how God's children should behave towards one another. And this is where it covers about not condemning one's neighbor, respect for holy things, the effectiveness of prayer, and the golden rule. And then lastly, we see the conditions for entering the kingdom of God, namely that it is a narrow gate that we must pass through, and beware of false prophets, and then build your faith upon the rock. So that's what we see in these five chapters of St. Matthew's Gospel. Again, what I encourage you to do sometime is just to read through it. It doesn't take very long to read through chapters 5, 6, and 7 and just get a nice, read the whole Sermon on the Mount. Well, in today's Gospel, we just have a few verses to mention about. And this is in chapter 5, beginning with verses 38, where Jesus says, you know, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, again, Jesus is speaking as God. Only God could say, well, the Old Testament said this, but now I say to you, Jesus is showing his divine authority in how he teaches. This theme of the eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth was found in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And for the Jewish people, this was what they used in their courts of law. And this was so that it would try to reduce retaliation. And so, in other words, they were trying to make things equal, that if you attack someone and plucked out their eye, well, then you would have your eye plucked out, but nothing more than that. Or if you hit somebody in the face and their tooth came out of their mouth, well, then you would have to have your tooth pulled. You see the idea that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So if you injured somebody, their eye or their tooth, and you had to have that done to you, but nothing more than that. So this was the law of justice, that if you did something to someone, then they could do something back to you. And this is how the courts of law operated, so that it would try not to exacerbate things and make things much worse of people taking even greater revenge upon the person. But Jesus says, well, that was the Old Testament. That was the law of justice. I'm going to give you a new law, the law of love, forgiveness, and mercy. And that's why Jesus says, but I tell you, do not resist that evil person. He says, if someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn and offer him the other as well. And Jesus did that on the cross. We see Jesus did that when he was being beaten by the soldiers, when he was before the Sanhedrin. The Lord accepted that. He did not fight back. He accepted that, and he turned the other cheek. That's where we get the expression of turning the other cheek, of forgiveness and mercy and love. And then he says, if someone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Again, this great spirit of generosity and forgiveness and love. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile with them, go the second mile. It's where we get the expression of going the extra mile, is from the Sermon on the Mount as well. Because the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, could conscript a person if they were carrying their armor and they had supplies. If they went into a town, Roman law said that they could conscript a young man or whoever and make them carry the armor for 1 mile, or carry the supplies for 1 mile, or carry the containers of water for a mile. Jesus says, go an extra mile. And if they force you to do that, well, accept it and even walk an additional mile. The idea is of generosity, love, and forgiveness. So you see how this Christian theme of the Lord really goes, it takes the Old Testament, but it goes much deeper. Instead of justice, there is mercy, love, and forgiveness. And then he concludes by saying, give to the one who asks of you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So again, this idea of generosity, when somebody asks you for something, then we do our very best to help them and to be generous with them.